Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today I am with a Firebird Book Award winning author, whom I just love, Annalise George, and her book is titled Nice Doing Business With You, Ma'am. She is a returning guest on the show, so we're going to have a good time today. She is an author, blogger, senior model, financial executive, and initiator of Lovable Light. Born in the Netherlands, she began writing in her youth. And Annalise says, I began writing in earnest at a later age. Concerned about the current situation in this world, I started to write a five-part fiction series titled The Jesse Golden Earth Series, in which I reflect on what can happen if change doesn't come. I find it very important to intertwine fiction with reality to share my point of view on things that matter. It also led to the Lovable Light Initiative. I have a long track record in the international IT finance world, working as international manager for companies like Cisco, HP, and Microsoft. Sometimes I get a gig as a senior model, and due to my everyday job combined with my writing, my time is limited. However, I love to make time for a photo shoot to support my own activities. Lots to find out, and oh, I didn't mention because I just found out she has six cats, so she and I have lots in common. Welcome back to the network, Annalise.
Thank you, Pat, and thank you for the nice introduction that you gave. Very happy to be talking to you again.
I know. I loved our times together in the past, so I was looking forward to this. And congratulations on winning Firebird Book Award.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a really nice surprise because my book just was launched, and I think the day before I received your email, so... It was pretty exciting.
Good timing, right? Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Well, before we get into your book, a senior model, that just sounds so fun to me. Just give us a little peek into that world.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not such a special thing. Normally, my height is not enough to be a model. But in the Netherlands, you have senior people and you can subscribe to an agency that is using senior models. So I did that. And yeah, from time to time, I'm asked to appear in a video or to be in a photo shoot or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. And if everyone goes to your website, they're going to see your photos and no one's going to believe that you are a senior model. You're a very unsenior model. How's that?
Oh, well, thanks for the compliment. But I'm indeed senior for Netherlands understanding. So,
oh, well, congratulations on doing that. That just sounds like a little fun side piece to your life, along with all the other good things that you're doing. All right, so we will dig into your book. It's titled Nice Doing Business With You, Ma'am, originally written in Dutch. Before we dig into what's going on in the book, why did you feel compelled to write this book?
Well, Pat, when I was working as a managing director for a finance company, I had a PA, and because I was always on the road, in the evening I sent her emails with a summary of what I experienced during the day. And she always had a good laugh, and the same was the case when I was telling stories of what I encountered during my business meetings when I was for lunch with friends. And they all said to me, Annalise, it's so hilarious, you should write it down in a book. So when I was in between jobs, I was trying to get a sabbatical, which was a shortcut to 2 months in the end. I made a start writing a biography. It was a biography in the beginning. And yeah, in the end, it became a fiction novel. Mm. And it had a specific reason why it wasn't a biography anymore. But maybe you will ask me something about that or not.
I will. So for those who don't know, the book is about working as a woman in a man's world. There's just a flurry of stories. So maybe give us a little peek as to what our listeners might find when they get a copy of your book.
Well, as I said, in the end, I wrote it as a fiction story. that had a particular reason, because first, when it was a biography, I put it aside because a lot of employers were making, they didn't like it that I would publish it, and they wanted to read it, and they wanted to make alterations. So I shuffled it aside, and I wrote another series, which you know, the Jesse Golden series. Mm-hmm. But then some men with whom I've been working with started to give me a call, and they said that they had already contacted their lawyers. Can you imagine how afraid they were that I would write something about them? And they demanded to read the book. That was the biography. So I went to a lawyer myself, and he said to me, well, Annelies, don't you worry, because if you write down what you encountered as a businesswoman, they have to prove that what you have written is incorrect. Mm-hmm. But to be on the safe side, just say it's inspired by what you encountered when you were working, and make it a fiction story. So what the readers can find in my book is basically a story of a young woman that starts in the world of finance. And she has no clue what she can what she can expect there. And she meets all kinds of characters, male characters, female degrading situations are in it. There's romance in it, because I also encountered during my business trips that I fell in love with somebody while I was married. There's also a lot about things that happened, like mergers and acquisitions, like a fraud case that came along my way, and more of that.
I guess I can understand their fear of a biography if you were actually going to name names and put company names. But to have like a preemptive reach out with attorneys, that's quite something. So you solve the problem, just fictionalize it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the main themes that you explore in the book, and why did you believe that those were important to share?
Well, I think that one of the main topics, and I think that's on everybody's mind these days, is the hashtag MeToo situation. In the time that I was working, it didn't exist. Things just happened, and you thought, okay, it comes with the job, and it seems to be like that. But I thought I should highlight it for two reasons. First of all, I think that whatever you feel like somebody is breaking into your privacy is something that you can only determine yourself. So in the book, I highlight what it was for me. Secondly, what I also think is very important, I don't know how it is in the States, but here in the Netherlands, it's going too far. So everything is now labeled as hashtag MeToo. Mm-hmm. So I also thought it would be very important in the story also to highlight that an encounter with a man can also be funny, and what they are saying should not always be taken as an insult or a threat. So it had a double meaning in the book. Mm-hmm. And secondly, what I also found very important is to underline how I was perceived in the business world and how men reacted, and how offending certain things were, which I experienced. But also the fun that I had in my job, also the hours of work that I put in, and the nice collaborationship that I had with my colleagues, but also with some of my business friends, I call it, mm-hmm. which are also male.
I remember when the Me Too hashtag came about, and it just seemed like everybody got on that bandwagon. I worked with a major insurance company for years, and I had some moments that, I just thought, well, that's disgusting, or, he's gross, or that's uncalled for. But you never really thought to take it to another level. You just figured, all right, that guy's an idiot. And you move on and just kind of go with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that turned into something that perhaps in the beginning it was not the intention.
No, I think so too. And as I said, I don't know how it is in the States at the moment, but in the Netherlands, things are spinning a bit out of control. Women are already offended if a male colleague is stating to them, hey, you look nice today, mm-hmm. or you have a nice dress. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the way that they are saying it, but to me, that doesn't sound like some violating of borders. But I think it's a very sensitive topic because not everybody agrees with me. And what I experience, I don't know if that's the same experience that you have, is that women of my age are in the same boat as I am, but particularly the very young generation of females, they are not so tolerant mm-hmm. as we were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yes. So a man might open a car door for you or hold the door open. And, you know, I just think, well, that's a nice gesture, but many would take offense by that. And then by the same token, as you said, we don't know what another woman's experience might be in the past and what might trigger a reaction. So it's kind of all over the place. And I guess everybody has a right to react how they feel. Yeah, it just makes for kind of an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also said in the author's note, it's for everybody different. And what I wrote in the book is basically how I experienced
it. It's your story. I'm imagining when you wrote this, you thought you were writing it for women, but I'm sensing that perhaps that's not your biggest audience.
No, to my big surprise, at least that was the case in the Netherlands. The book was bought primarily by men.
Interesting.
And specifically by business associates, businessmen that I knew. So there was also a CEO that after reading the book, he said, yeah, it was a real eye-opener for me how women can perceive certain things. And although he is not the type that would ever offend me, he said to me that it really gave him some food for thought if he was doing things correctly in his company. And if he could do things not differently. So for me, I think that was great mm-hmm. because it's also one of the things that I would like to accomplish with the book, that men start to think about that certain things, that how they behave and perceive certain things are not the same as that we are perceiving them.
Right.
I also thought about it and I thought, well, I could also visit the company. And then mm-hmm. in half an hour when they are all together, I don't know, for a group meeting or a company meeting, yeah. I could highlight in a lightful way the topic and present something about it. Mm-hmm. And that maybe can change the mindset of some male figures in a company.
Exactly, because I'm sure you could present that in a somewhat humorous fashion, because I'm sure there's things that happened that were... could be taken kind of as they were funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course. And that's why this book is also with a light undertone and written also with humor.
Right.
But I didn't want to make it a very heavy book, but just this is my story and this has happened. And there were a lot of funny instances that happened, but also with a serious undertone, mm-hmm, which is always the case in my book.
Well, that's true. That's right. Were there any specific stories as you were putting this pen to paper or examples that stood out to you during your writing that you thought, oh my, this is quite a story?
Well, I think that the fraud case in the book, I think that was one of the things that I thought, well, I have to mention it, but I couldn't mention it exactly how it went. But I think it was also an example that the males that performed this fraud, that they were treating me like I was a dumb person and what I discovered wasn't true. And I was just obnoxious, etc., etc. And I thought that certainly deserved a place in the book. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I still found very hilarious, although it was awful, that I went to lunch with a CFO that I knew for quite some time. And I didn't see any harm to join him in his car to the restaurant. And the restaurant was based in a hotel. It was a very well-known star restaurant. Mm-hmm. And when we were ready, he said, shall we? And I thought, okay, shall we go? So we go back to the car. But then he went to the receptionist of the hotel and he wanted to book a room. So I was then so shocked that I thought, I'm not doing this. And I told him that. And then he just shrugged his shoulders and he said, okay, then not. But the horrible thing was that when we were on the way back in his car, because my car was parked at this office, he told me all kinds of stories, which woman he had sex with, what he had done with them, and in what position, etc. So I thought that deserved also a place in the book.
Do you believe the audacity? Shall we? Yeah, sure. It's like, who would have thought? Yeah, let's go. It's time to leave.
Yeah. And there was another thing I thought that really had to be in the book, and that was a CEO of a company in the Netherlands, or it was an international company, and he basically started to harass me, and he also, how must I say that? He touched me, and he was a horrible person. So that story is also in the book. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we discovered that he was doing that in a period when his wife was pregnant.
Oh, good.
Which made everything even more horrible.
Oh, that story kind of resonates with me. Again, when I worked for this insurance company, there was this one particular manager. Anytime I would walk by his office, he would then look at me and pat his lap. Like, come sit on my lap. And it never ended. I mean, at any time, and I would just keep walking. And you said his wife was pregnant. This guy's wife was pregnant at the same time he was doing that. Now, I don't know how many other people in the office took him up on that. I certainly did not. But just like, I still think of that to this day and wonder if I should have done more with that and exposed it, you know, and said, look, this guy should not be doing this. But at the time, I thought, I need to just protect myself and my job and just move on and let him pat his lap all he wants.
Yeah, well, it was also the case with this guy. Well, when he started, we had a company day and there was a business dinner. And unfortunately, I was late and there were only two chairs left. And I took one chair and then he came, he took the other. So he was sitting next to me.
Right.
And during the dinner, he grabbed me between my legs.
Oh, good grief.
And that was really the point that I thought, I have to confront this guy.
Yeah.
And during the confrontation, I even slapped him in his face because he just didn't want to hear the story. But that was basically it for me. And until that time, he was still harassing me. And we were trying with my team at the time just to put him at arm's length, to put a distance between us. But every time he came, he did something very terrible. But then I thought, okay, I politely tried to push him away. But when he did that, for me, it was like, this is the limit.
Yes.
Until here. And now I'm going to confront you face to face. Get out of my life. We never did business with him again, by the way, which was also the case with another story in the book. But I think I found it very important to put that in the book because when I spoke to other women that also read the book in the Netherlands, they had similar stories. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of recognition, I think, for women, and for men, it's an interesting read.
And thus the title, Nice Doing Business With You, Ma'am. That was an interesting choice of title.
Yeah, well, we did a acquisition of a portfolio, and that had to be funded. It was, I think, 30 million or something like that. And the funder, it was a bank, it was a high amount. And they said to me, okay, it's such a huge amount, the president of the bank will personally come to sign the contract. And actually, this guy said to me after he signed the contract, "Nice doing business with you, ma'am." So I thought it was a nice title to use for the book.
It's just too much. Well, short of slapping someone in the face, are there any other strategies that you might recommend for overcoming gender bias in the workplace?
Well, I think that if it would happen at this moment, and I was an employee at the company, I would certainly go to human resources, mm-hmm. because I think it's a very important one of their most important tasks is also to protect the employees from these things to happen. I personally, maybe I will do that, but mm-hmm. I think that I'm strong enough to face the guy himself. Mm-hmm. But if you are not so strong, you can always go to HR or to a person that you trust and that can help you and that has a certain position within a company or within another company that you work with.
And then hope that they believe you.
Yeah, well, I think that my experience is that usually human resources will start an investigation, but they usually tend to see at the expression of the face or the body mm-hmm. language yeah. of a person mm-hmm. whether this person is telling the truth or not.
Interesting. Wow. Very convoluted. It didn't sound like there's any emerging positive trends, but perhaps have you seen any trends that would give you hope for the future of this inequality happening in a workplace? Anything that you see that looks positive?
I think the positive thing is that women, they recognize what is okay and not okay, mm-hmm. and they start talking about it to a certain point of view, or to a certain extent, I'm sorry. But to be quite honest, Pat, I think this will continue. And unless, because I also believe, and that you can also sense in my book, is that when man has a certain power mm-hmm. or a certain position in a company, they think that they can allow themselves everything.
Yes, yes.
And I don't see that disappear. Just to give you an example, I was interviewed in the Netherlands by a journalist about this topic. And he asked me the same question. And then he said to me, just to be quite honest to you, Annelies, and this is really shocking. If I would be the president of a company or the CEO of a company, I might do the same.
Oh.
He said that to me.
Oh.
And he said, yeah, it's just in the genes of men, but I don't believe him because my husband is also a CEO well, and he doesn't do those
exactly.
things. But he believes that when people are put in a powerful position and they are, I don't know, they of course need to have that in their character, it's just a natural thing to do. That was his point of view. And I think that if someone, a man is saying that to me, then I don't believe that it will disappear mm-hmm. over the course of time. It will always be there, unfortunately.
Wow. This conversation just brings back so many memories of instances that occurred to me. I remember once I was called again from this insurance company to go to the home office in New York, and another a high-ranking gentleman, let's call him, from another state was there at this same meeting with me, and it was just the two of us that were representing this insurance company at the home office. And so we had to go to dinner together, and on this little trolley ride, he made it a point to tell me that he and his wife have an arrangement where they can do whatever they want with other people when they're out of town. And then I come to find out from the front desk that when he got there first and told them to be sure to put his room across from my room.
Oh, yeah. I recognize that.
Yes, that's
really
an old trick.
Not that somebody put his room across mine, but I recognize that somebody, and that's also in the book, told me that during a business dinner as an invitation.
Yep. It's so wild. And, you know, and I guess at the time I was younger, and you just roll with it. I'm like, whatever, have fun with that. But Yeah, your book brings up a lot of thoughts, and I'm sure as women read it, their brain is probably ignited as to things that might have happened in their past. And hopefully, as you said, when men read it, they can see how ugly that is and how uncalled for and out of line all of that is. So maybe your book, to answer my own question, your book might be an emerging trend that can give hope for the future of gender equality in the workplace. Let's hope for that.
Yeah, I hope so too. At least what I told you about the CEO that read my book and said that it was an eye-opener and that he would relook at how his company is treating women. Mm-hmm. That is really what I would try to achieve.
Yep.
And I also believe that something will change, but I don't think that it will disappear because it will exist, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because it's the society that's like that, and it will take, I think, maybe an age to change it. It cannot change overnight.
Right. Oh, here's an idea for women where this conversation might resonate. Maybe get a copy of Annalise's book and wrap it real nicely and leave it at the front desk of whoever it is that's harassing you, or mail them a copy to their home and give them the hint that way.
Yeah, that could be a good idea.
I'm just trying to sell copies of your book here, Annalise.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, my gosh. All right, my friend, what's next? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on the third and fourth parts of the Jesse Golden series. Mm-hmm. It's already on paper, but I just didn't have enough time just to go through it and to finish it. And I also have a book in mind, and it will be a fiction book again, about what happened with my mother with her Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. and how I perceived it and what it did do to me as a caretaker.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an important book. I hope you get that written.
Yeah, well, I already started to write, because I do things in parallel. Mm-hmm. I already started to write it. But it needs more attention. And I decided first to finish the third and fourth chapter of the Jesse Golden series, and then start working on it every evening. Mm-hmm. And I also finished a book about a spiritual thing, which is now with some publishers in the Netherlands, and you see how that goes. I already translated it in English, so let's see how that work out.
Hmm. So much on your plate, but it's all so important. So we'll just keep an eye on you and continue to talk and share you and all the good books that you're writing. So as far as today's conversation, anything we missed that you felt you wanted to highlight?
No, I don't think so. I think that I gave the audience, I hopefully gave them a good impression about the book, what's in it. Yep. Why I wrote a book, and why it's interesting to read.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So,
well, then share your website or any other place where folks can find out more about you and get copies of all of your books.
Yes, of course. Well, you can find the information on my website. That's AnnaliseGeorge.com. I also have a Facebook page. That's AnnaliseGeorge Author. The same for Instagram. And copies of my book can be bought at independent bookshops, Amazon, Kobo, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, etc. But it's all mentioned on the website.
All righty. So we are speaking with Annalise George. The title of the book is Nice Doing Business With You, Ma'am. And her website is AnnaliseGeorge.com. And I encourage everybody to get over there and check out all of your books, especially this one. I just think there's so much value to this. And I know our conversation today really tickled my mind and brought back a lot of thoughts. So I'm going to have to sit back and chew on some of that. Thank you for being with us again. It's always so exciting to talk with you. And I look forward to doing this again with you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Beth. And I'm looking forward to have a next conversation with you, maybe about another book.
I'm always ready to spend time with you. Thank you, Annalise.
Okay, thanks. Bye.